Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. This is going to be a fun podcast. I have the opportunity of learning that, as you guys do. I'm going to be introducing you guys to Tim Balashev, who is the CEO, co-founder of Jivo Chat, which is a platform you're going to hear a little bit about on this podcast. Most importantly, how either you can use it in your own potential companies or some of the things that he's been doing to scale his business that will help you in scaling yours as well. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So you guys, you've been doing this for the last 8 years or so. Is that what you said?
Yes, we started in 2012.
And so you've grown and scaled to $7 million annual revenue. And I think that's pretty impressive over the last 8 years.
Well, of course, we always want more. But yes, it was more or less linear over 8 years.
Fantastic. So as you take a look at building and scaling a company, what are some of the main things that you've learned as you've done this? Because I know most of your team is remote as well.
Yeah, out of 130 people, 100 of our guys work from their homes from the different countries. And we have an office for parts of different teams like sales team, accounting, marketing. Yeah, and we started that way. The reason was simple. We didn't have enough money for renting an office. And I always had some kind of predispositions to investors' money. Never wanted to take someone's capital. Actually, that's why we started bootstrapping and saving money on everything we could. So we worked from our homes. Our first development server was actually under my desk. I was doing accounting, designed Photoshop's interfaces in Photoshop, built our first version of a website. I think I paid $20 for the WordPress template for the first version. So yes, that kind of stuff for the first year.
So ClickFunnels right now, we have about 350 employees and the majority of ours are remote as well. And so I'm kind of curious, as you've scaled and worked with a remote team, what have been some of the things you've liked about it and what are the things you have not liked?
Yeah, actually, I always thought that that was a temporary state. That's when we get grow enough, when we have enough money, we'll hire a nice office with a view and everything will be normal. But over time, I understood that there are pluses and minuses in working remotely. And to the present day, I can't really say which one is more effective. I can only say that it's working for us well enough. Maybe if we're working in one space, if we had more water cooler talks, if we saw each other more often, maybe we would be more effective. But I don't have any hard data to support that. I only know that we learned how to interview people who are more likely to work remotely effectively, because as you probably know, it takes a lot of self-discipline to work from home, and not everyone is built for that. Also, it kind of feels lonely, you know, when you stay isolated for a while. So I try to go to the office at least once every 2 weeks. Otherwise, it's really hard. Also, it's really it can really hurt your work-life balance, because people often imagine that working from home is good for their life, so they can spend more time with the kids, with family. Actually, it's the opposite, because you don't have a specific boundary where your work stops and life begins, right? For example, right now I'm on the third floor of my house where everything is only about work. So I have a ritual. When I go here, I'm working. When I'm not working, I don't go to my office. It's so I can put myself in and out of work state. Otherwise, you're always working, right? Because even when you're down with in the living room with the kids, you're typing something in Slack. And that's what I'm always struggling with. So yeah, a lot of things that you need to take care about. Also once a year we have annual retreats where we assemble all the team. Probably you have those too, right? So without that, people just don't connect. If you work in the same place, it happens naturally. If you work over Zoom and Slack and Jira, people just work in their spaces, or maybe, okay, they see each other at Zoom stand-ups in the morning, but you need to push them to connect socially, to share experience, to bond with each other, to feel like a team. So, yes, that takes a lot of energy.
I understand. We go back and forth with the same situation. So that's something thing we're always toying around with as far as how do you maintain that kind of a culture? I'm kind of curious, as you take a look at this whole idea as far as bootstrapping, we've done the exact same thing. I'm always fascinated by other companies like yourselves. Again, you guys have scaled to $7 million in annual revenue, all bootstrapping, haven't taken on any cash. What have you learned along the way as far as either where money would have been helpful or why you're glad you didn't take on money?
Well, I feel that investors' money is like a casino bet. Either you grow fast and use that money effectively, or investors push you out and salvage their investment and you're left with nothing. I saw a couple of guys in such exact situation where the company is successful enough. The company makes money, but the liquidation preferences and other fine print in the term sheet left the guy with nothing. So you're in position when you are successful, you have to cover losses for 10 other companies in the portfolio. And well, either you grow 20x or you don't get rich. So to me, even considering the fact that it's risky and hard, bootstrapping is more safe option or more sure way to getting rich than going with investors' money. Because, I started my business in Russia and it's not California. So there's no no investors going around throwing money left and right. So it's really hard to sell a company here. So when you're starting with an investor, that investor has not too much exit options as in California. So yeah, that's actually bootstrapping was the only viable way for me that I saw. How can I grow?
So to help me understand why JivoChat? Why did you start with, why'd you go down this road? And what exactly is JivoChat and how does it work for our listeners?
Sure. Before JivoChat, I was running a different company. It was also SaaS business, Octoline. We created a software PBX service at business telephony for small medium businesses where you can sign up like Ring Central, sign up for a service, get a phone number and receive calls and do other telephony stuff. And I was struggling with conversion on my own website. So we run normal marketing stack. We had Google Ads, Facebook Ads, SEO, content marketing, but the conversions were not satisfying. And I was looking for ways to increase conversions on the site to understand what's going on in people's minds who come to our site. And actually the product had quite a long list of features and it was really hard to understand. Sometimes it was really hard for people to understand how it works. I was looking for a live chat solution for my own website and it was 2010 or 11, I think. And I was really surprised how such an obvious idea would have such a shitty implementation on the market. So the products were either ugly or too expensive or both. So me as an engineer, I always think that I can do better than others. So that was the general idea, that we know what product people actually need, how to make it look nice, how to make the business model effective so it won't cost so much, how can we build marketing on freemium model. So, you know, we had a whole puzzle of our business model right even before we started coding. So I saw this picture where I know how to build product, how to build marketing, how to organize support and operations, how to build competition strategy. So, and actually, I think I was very lucky that this idea was more or less correct in the beginning. And that's probably why we started making money, I think, third or fourth month after we released our first version of the product. And regarding the product itself, so over the past 8 years, I think we rewrote it from scratch 4 times. Now we are in the fourth incarnation of our product. We started as a live chat plugin for websites where you can come to the website, send a message, receive an answer. Then we became a multi-channel chat where you can connect Facebook Messenger, Viber, other communication tools here. Then we shifted to something we called Business Messenger. So you can connect phone number and email channel, so you can communicate across all channels with customers. And we released internal chat, so you can use Java chat instead of Slack for your team. And
your customers are going to use your product to basically help support their own current customers. They use it for kind of like a Slack alternative. Sales use it to basically close deals, and they can use it across multiple platforms. So a person can either, their customers can either email in, they can be talking through Facebook Messenger, they can be talking on phones, they can do text. Is all of that is part of Java Chat?
Yes, exactly. So Java Chat is a universal messenger for businesses. It's a simple app. So there are customers and conversations with customers, just like you see in Facebook Messenger. But it has several business-oriented features. For example, you can set the reminders to contact customers. You can assign customers between your team. You can have internal team chat or discuss clients using the comments and mentions. You can have several types of statistics reports, see what's going on with customers. You can listen to the phone conversations with them, monitor what's going on in the email channel. So we try to cover as many communication processes as possible and connect all communication channels that you have to our app. So you don't have to go to several different apps to communicate. That's where we are right now. And the next step for us is to cover CRM processes. So we know that many of our customers struggle with things like following up on customers, missing incoming leads, prioritizing leads, making sure the sales team has a correct focus on customers that are more likely to buy. And all those processes can be optimized with the simple tools. You don't need to integrate a CRM, to hire a company to do that for you, to educate your team. It really takes just a process of setting reminders correctly and handling those reminders to follow up on leads, right? Or to organize your inbox properly so you don't miss incoming customer requests, or give you feedback on work of specific teammates, look at their scores and grades. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to provide a simple tool to solve quite important problems for teams.
Tim, that's awesome. So tell me, if people wanted to reach out or find out more about you, where's the best place for them to go?
They can go to our site, javachat.com, or if there are questions to me personally, I'm happy to contact on Facebook.
That's fantastic. And so JavoChat is JIVOCHAT.com. And so you can go there. So Tim, any parting words for our audience as we get close to wrapping things up here?
If your audience are guys who think about starting business, first thing I would recommend them to do is to bootstrap and to do it on their own, and then think about raising investments. That's what worked out for me.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks for inviting me, Dave.